Who are the clans of tradition? Trad Godfathers Part 3. In Part 1, we discussed the context of Mr. Michael Matt's slogan, Unite the Clans, which also forms the fundamental aspect of our editorial stance, Unite the Clans to Restore in Christendom. In Part 2, we attempted to define traditionalism by asserting 3 points, which are, in our view, the non-negotiables of the traditional movement. In a important obiter dictum, we investigated the question of whether or not non-trad Catholics are heretics. In this part 3, we conclude our series by attempting to define who are the clans of tradition. So, having said all of this, let's hazard a general summary of the various clans of tradition. At the risk of oversimplifying, I'm going to break the clans into 3. The reason is that this is a helpful historical framework because it provides a general historical concept, which then allows us to identify various subsets or families which fall under each clan. As I said in part 2, quote, a traditionalist will resist this effort to suppress the Latin Mass as far as his Catholic conscience will take him, end quote. Every clan is going to do this, but each clan will do so only to a certain point according to the formation of their conscience. There are various schools of philosophical and theological thought which diverge among the clans. Thomists and Augustinians, Scotists and Eastern Catholic allies. And of course, everybody has their favorite traditional devotion. The point is, the overthrow of traditional faith, morals, and devotions is the aim of neo-modernism, which forms but another wing of the overall neo-iconoclasm regime. And therefore, the traditionalist Catholic resists this with all his strength, defending the faith in order to pass it down to his children. These 3 classifications do not mean that the subdivisions of families within each clan have any relation to each other historically. Their relation as families within one clan is a result of their historical circumstance and may or may not mean they had a relationship within the same clan. Finally, I'm going to organize all these in their historical chronology based on what came first as a means to organize this summary of our Trad Godfathers and their clans. Historical chronology does not necessarily correspond to their own historical significance. The fact that the SSPX does not come first is just a chronological claim, not a claim about its historical significance. Okay. The first clan, number one. Clan number one. This clan I term the original Trad Godfathers and Godmothers. You might also call these the OG Godfathers if you want to be cool with the kids these days. These Trad Godfathers were mostly members of the laity who vocally opposed the new iconoclasm from the beginning and sought to promote the Latin Mass as best they could in the diocesan context. This is, first, the lay group Federatio Internationalis Una Voce, which had its origin in 1964 and was led by Dr. Borgchild Crane, His Serene Highness Duke Filippo Caffarelli, Dr. Eric Vermeulen de Zeventem, and others. Another significant figure in this regard is Dr. Dietrich von Hildebrand, whose books in 1967, Trojan Horse in the City of God, and 1973, The Devastated Vineyard, were fundamental, as well as his founding of the Roman Forum, and also in this regard, the great Michael Davies, whose scholarship has been critical to the traditionalist movement. Now, our God Trad Mothers, our Trad Godmothers, are the real pillars in this clan, especially Madre Pascalina and Christina Campo, the godmother of the Ottaviani event intervention, with the German scholar Ida Friederike Gores. Later, Dr. Alice von Hildebrand would rebuke John Paul II to his face in the early 1980s, which appeared to have led straight to the 1984 indult for the Latin Mass. Now, meanwhile, Sister Wilhelmina Lancaster was striving in her order to maintain tradition and would later be attending the diocesan Latin Masses in D.C. in the 1980s and in Baltimore in 1992. And that's the thumbnail of this video. And the article is a newspaper claiming of Sister Wilhelmina Lancaster, as you may know, has been found to be incorrupt in Gower, Missouri, at her monastery that she founded. The Reverend Novus Ordo. Many of these trad godfathers, like the Hildebrands, attended a, quote, Reverend Novus Ordo, end quote, because that was simply their only option in order to receive sacramental grace and save their souls. Eastern Catholic. Others took refuge among our Eastern Catholic allies. Anglican Ordinariate. Still others, like Mr. Charles Coulomb, took refuge among the Anglican Catholics. Others, like the Michael Matt family, found a diocesan Latin Mass by means of one of the rare indults after Quatuor ab hinc annos. Michael Matt confirmed to me that this Latin Mass was one of the first in the country which his father requested after this 1984 indult. The priests who serve this clan are primarily diocesan clergy and thus would hardly identify themselves as trad for the reasons I explained above in my response to Father Brownson. You can click on the link in the article for that discussion. This group has varying philosophical backgrounds from none, i.e. Sister Wilhelmina, to Augustinian phenomenology, that is the Hildebrands, and also varying opinions about Vatican II from the hermeneutic of continuity, the Hildebrands, to very critical of the council, i.e. Michael Davies. Here is the second clan. Now, clans number 2 and 3 are made up primarily of clergy. Number 2, the zealous papists. This would be Archbishop Lefebvre before 1988. It would also be Archbishop de Castro Mayer before 1988 and then after 2001. With other bishops and priests like the FSSP, the FSVP, I'm sorry, the FSVF, the Institute of Christ the King, et al. Especially Fathers Joseph Bigsig and Louis-Marie de Bilnière and other such founders of TLM priestly orders. We also later have Bishop Licinio Rangel and his Campos priests in Brazil, who are now in full canonical regularity. I'm calling these trad godfathers zealous papists. The leaders of this clan are not lay people, but clergy. As I said, I do not think clergy should ever identify as trad, but in this and the following clan, these clergy are more likely to do that. This clan pushes for all the non-negotiables we discussed in part 2, but they add another non-negotiable, canonical regularity. Why? Their zeal for the Pope causes them to oppose the conciliar popes because of the Pian Magisterium popes, i.e. the popes from Pius VI, circa 1789 to Pius XII, 1958. Read Archbishop Lefebvre's Summa, they have uncrowned him, and his biography. See how the SSPX was only created because Archbishop Lefebvre was zealous for full canonical regularity. Do you see how much the Archbishop was devoted to the Pope's teaching? This is the only reason he opposed Paul VI and his successors, because they seemed to be contradicting their predecessors. Nevertheless, in 1988 and later in 2001, in the case of Rangel, this clan stood fast on the solid ground of the traditional teaching of the papacy that the episcopacy must, by its very nature, adhere to Rome, as Saint Irenaeus put it. We'll discuss this more below. This group is generally Thomistic and is also generally hermeneutic of continuity, quote unquote, in regards to Vatican II. This group accepts the validity and legitimacy of the Reverend Novus Ordo. Now, clan number three, the Defensores Fidei, that is, Defenders of the Faith. This would be the SSPX from 1988 to the present. It would also be the Campos Clergy and Faithful from 1988 to 2001 when they achieved full canonical regularity. Archbishop Lefebvre and the SSPX are the leaders of this clan worldwide. These are made up of the zealous papists in the second group and share all the same characteristics of the prior clan. Nevertheless, in 1988, this clan stood fast on the solid ground of the traditional teaching that the papacy is the primary defensor fidei, and therefore, if I might ironically quote Vatican II here, quote, this teaching office, aka the magisterium, is not above the word of God, scripture and tradition, but serves it, teaching only what has been handed on, Dei Verbum 10, end quote. Thus, on the contrary, this clan is zealous for the precise and definitive defense of the faith against neo-modernism, and thus maintains a dialogos with Rome, winning from the Holy See more and more clarity against the heretics. On the concept of dialogos as a distinct reality to what is known as dialogue, you can see my book, City of God versus City of Man, which talks about it from the history of the Socratic dialogue to the present. On the positive fruits of the SSPX dialogue with Rome, you can see Dr. Micah Hickson, Archbishop Pozzo on the SSPX, disputed Vatican II documents are non-doctrinal, published at 1 Peter 5, and also by the same author, this dissertation on Vatican II influenced Rome's decision to lift the excommunications of the SSPX bishops. LifeSite News, February 18, 2022. This group is strictly Thomistic and very critical of Vatican II, asserting that Vatican II contains positive errors. The SSPX warns against attendance even at a Reverend Novus Ordo. And this is from the SSPX official positions on the matter. The Papists and the Defensores, bad blood and reconciliation. The most bitter feud always occurs within families, between brothers. This is why, as Father James Maudley expertly demonstrates, the Torah is a story of fratricide and brotherhood. It is not surprising that the man who called the Trad movement to unite the clans is a member of the first group of laymen. The heart of a layman sees the world differently than the clerical brotherhood, and this is by God's design. But the bonds of brotherhood between priests run very deep. Latin priests do not marry. They are married to their parish, and they are strengthened by the brotherhood of the priesthood. Perhaps one day Archbishop Lefebvre will indeed be called the doctor of the priesthood. One of the things he did was insist that his priests live in community. That is why, to this day, the SSPX has priories where all priests live, and then they drive out to their chapels, sometimes a significant distance. This fraternity of the priory is essential to a priest's identity, and especially for the group of priests in Europe who led the traditionalist movement, namely the SSPX. Therefore, because this brotherhood is so deep, the cleavage within this brotherhood between the SSPX and its various daughter fraternities, hinging upon pious hearts troubled in their Catholic conscience, is very bitter indeed. I think many lay faithful of the Trad movement failed to see the concern of the FSSP clerics. This is because the heart of a priest is obedience to my father in the most intimate way outside monasticism. For lay people, we do not and need not obey bishops like priests obey bishops and the Holy Father. But this is why some saints have praised a blind obedience, or at least a servile obedience of clerics to the superiors, since this is a safeguard of humility and a special characteristic of the priesthood as distinct from the laity. No doubt, even those who praised blind obedience would never have obeyed Pope Julius II to invade the kingdom of Naples or whatever, but that's not the point. The point is that a priest's obedience to his bishop and the pope is very intimate to his heart, and it is the raison d'etre of priestly brotherhood. I am a priest because I have surrendered in obedience to my father, the bishop, who begot me in ordination. You are a priest for the same reason. Therefore, we are brothers, ready to die together for Christ and his church. This is the heart of priestly brotherhood. But this mode of obedience is traditional, and that is why the pain and bitterness between the clerics of the SSPX and the FSSP and all the others is so bitter. The defensores, the third group, the SSPX, are grieved to disobey. And that is why the SSPX has continually attempted to gain and maintain canonical regularity in every diocese and persevered in their dialogos with Rome. The key to unite the clans is to realize that the main division between the papists and the defensores, the second and third group, the FSSP and the SSPX, was created by both sides holding to traditional doctrines and applying them according to the formation of Catholic consciences. Both the papists and the defensores are correct in principle. The FSSP is correct that canonical regularity is traditional. The SSPX is correct that blind obedience cannot be irrational or anti-tradition. The difference is that their Catholic consciences, both formed properly, are coming to different conclusions regarding the concrete situation since the beginning of the new iconoclasm. According to the Catholic doctrine of conscience, you can click on the link in the article that goes to the Dominic Primer Manual of Catholic Moral Theology, one of the best manuals before Vatican II, talks about the doctrine of conscience. According to the Catholic doctrine of conscience, a properly formed conscience, which makes an error in judgment, yet follows that error in good faith, does not sin. As I have learned from Mr. Michael Matt, we as lay people should respect the consciences of our priests who fall on different sides of the SSPX/FSSP debate. We should not even ask them where they stand. Just ask them to celebrate the Latin Mass and let the clerics figure out their clerical questions. Instead, in order to unite the clans, we need to start by having reverence for our trad godfathers. That's the point of all these words. Therefore, we make the call again for submissions to show reverence and piety for our trad godfathers from whatever clan they come, and help us pass down the militant zeal of the faith which caused them to fight in darker times than these. One of our greatest gaps at 1 Peter 5 is a lack of English content about Campos in Brazil, as well as the great Michael Davies. Surely someone reading this can share about Davies. Maybe you have something to share about any of the Trad Godfathers listed above in this article. Maybe you want to share about someone else not listed. Click the links above on different names in order to see what we have in mind. You can also go to 1peter5.com and click on the editorial stance and submission guidelines for all of our submission priorities. Please use our submission email, 1peter5submissions@gmail.com. Viva Cristo Rey.